Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for this time that we can gather together in fellowship with one another, Lord, and for that awesome time of worship. Lord, I pray that we would just continue that heart of worship right now into your word, into hearing from you, God. We ask that you would pour your Holy Spirit out upon us tonight in this room, Lord, and that you would just speak to us, that your Spirit and your word would just penetrate deep into our hearts, and Lord, that you would encourage us and that you would challenge us tonight, Lord. So God, we thank you again for tonight. Lord, we love you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I think tonight's going to be a little bit different than normal. Normally on Wednesday nights, we have an awesome teaching through the scripture. You know, sometimes it's a whole chapter, sometimes it's one verse, but Chris always seems to go a good 50 minutes to an hour. I don't know how long I'm going to go. I'm used to teaching the youth, and I like to keep it around 20 minutes, but I made it a little bit longer than normal, so we should have a good full time here. But if you guys have Bibles, you can open up to John chapter 21. That's not what you have on Sunday, right? It's not what you're teaching on? Okay, good. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. Now, while you guys are turning there, I'm going to ask a question, but I already know the answer to this question. Is how many of us have ever messed up? Right. All of us have messed up. How many of us have ever messed up big time? All of us again, right? We all have. See, I can think back at my life, and I can remember time and time and time again where I made mistake after mistake after mistake. And I think that I'm not any different than anyone else. I think all of us can relate to that. For many of us in this room, we do relate. We have some mess-ups in our past. We have all had that feeling that we've done something, or when we've come to the realization that what we have done, what we have said, what we have thought was just wrong or evil. I think we've all had those experiences in our lives. But I guess here's what I know about everyone in this room. It's that at some point in your life, you've made a mistake that you regret. You did something which is eating you up on the inside, and it's you know, you did something to someone that broke a relationship, or you did something in your relationship which you regret because you crossed a line you never intended to cross, or you said something to someone that destroyed a relationship. You've done something to yourself which you want to stop, but you can't, or even you've compromised in your faith, and it's eating you alive. We've all made mistakes in our past. Here's something I've been learning through my own relationship with Jesus, which I hope that we can all come to understand and work through together. And why the love of Jesus is stronger than anything that we could ever experience in this world. It's this. It's that your past mistakes don't necessarily prevent God from using you in the future. Your past mistakes don't necessarily prevent God from using you in the future. And that when we bring our mess to the cross, Jesus redeems us. He restores us. And he can use us in spite of our mess. This is why I love Peter's story. He is proof of this. And the truths that we learn from his interaction with Jesus after he messed up are the same truths that we can know and apply to our lives as well. So we pick up with Peter after Jesus is resurrected from the grave. But we find that Peter appears to have given up in his relationship with Jesus altogether. And maybe some of us have been there too. When we look at this interaction between Jesus and Peter, post mess up for Peter, we see that Jesus actually restores him and sends him out. So let me set the scene. So Peter was back fishing. Peter was a fisherman. That's what he did for a living before he met Jesus. He was a fisherman. He seemed to have deemed himself disqualified from the ministry in spite of what he had witnessed for the past 3 years. He was walking along Jesus for the past 3 years, yet one big mess up and he goes back to his old life. He probably self-diagnosed himself as a failure, and he was done with ministry because he had denied his Savior 3 times after he said he was devoted and would never deny him. Now, if you don't know this story, I think all of us in this room do know the story. Peter was a disciple. And when Jesus was taken to be crucified, Peter feared for his own life. When people started to accuse him of being a follower of Jesus, without hesitation, he denied that fact, and he did it in three separate occasions, right? After the third time, he remembered what Jesus had spoken to him. See, Jesus, earlier that day, had prophesied that Peter was going to deny him 3 times before the rooster crows, right? And so after the third time that Peter denied Jesus, the rooster crowed, and he remembered what Jesus said, and he ran off, and he wept bitterly. And I think Peter is beloved by all of us because he's just like us. He had all the failures that we are so familiar with in our own lives. Check this out. Firstly, he overestimated himself and he underestimated temptation. How many of us have ever done that? Second, he thought he was more committed than he actually was. He thought he loved the Lord more than he actually did. And third, he thought he could face any trial triumphantly, but he found out he couldn't. I think it's a dangerous place to be when you stop relying on the power of the Holy Spirit within you and you start relying on your own strength. I remember when I was in middle school, you know, I thought I loved the Lord so much. I thought I was invincible to certain sins because, you know, I love the Lord. I'm not going to fall into sin. No way. Guess what? As soon as I start thinking that way, boom, I get hit with temptation. I get hit with it, and boom, I fall. Because I was relying on myself and not the Lord, not the Holy Spirit in me. I think that sometimes we place too much faith in ourselves and not enough faith in Jesus and the Holy Spirit to keep us far from temptations. And that's the problem. We receive power to fight off sin, not in ourselves, but in the Lord. So by the time we get to this point in Scripture, John 21, verses 15 through 19, even though Peter had already seen the risen Christ, he was really a broken man. So Peter went back to what he knew. In Matthew 4:19, Jesus met these fishermen including Peter, he told them to drop their nets, leave it all behind, and he would make them fishers of men. You remember, they dropped everything and they followed. This was over 3 years later, and Peter had led these fishermen, the other disciples, back to fishing in the first part of the chapter. So then, Jesus appeared on the shore. So this is, I'm still kind of setting the stage here, I guess. This is just earlier than verse 15, right? So Jesus appeared on the shore, and he asked them, did you guys catch any fish? And they're like, no. And so Jesus says, all right, cast your net on the other side of the boat. So they cast it in. They haul in so many fish that they couldn't pull it into their boat. And immediately, John proclaims, it's the Lord. No other person can cause a miracle like that. It's the Lord, right? And so Peter, what's he do? He throws off his cloak and he dives into the water and he swims about 100 yards to shore in order to get to his Lord. Remember, this is after he messed up. He went back to his old life and he hears the Lord's voice and he acts on it. He dives into the water. He does whatever it takes to get to the Lord. And I think there's something applicable here. Now, this is just my observation, but right, Peter went back to fishing. He went back to his former life before he knew Christ, right? And when Jesus showed up, and after Peter went back to his former life, Peter hears the voice of the Lord, and he makes no hesitation to dive into the water and swim back to his Lord, over 100 yards. Right? That's a really long way to swim. Yet he was willing to do whatever it takes to get to the Lord. Now here's the application point that I'm making here. Is when you hear the Lord's voice, when you hear the Lord's voice calling you back, maybe you've been wandering or straying. When you hear the Lord's voice, run, swim, jump, I don't know, do whatever it takes to fall at the feet of Jesus in order to receive the restoration that is to come next. Do whatever it takes to get to the feet of the Lord in order to receive the restoration that is going to come next. See, for the disciples, fishing was not what God had called them to do. Peter was the leader, and he needed to be restored. And behind him would come the others. But God had a very significant plans for this denying, impatient, impulsive leader by the name of Peter. And as we look at this section of scripture, we're going to see what is essentially a call to faithfulness for any believer, for any disciple of Christ, for anyone who is going to serve the Lord. This is a characteristic of a committed follower of Jesus. To see what our Lord elicits out of Peter is what he wants for all of us. So let's pick it up from there. Verse 15 says this. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John. Now I just need to stop right here real quick to explain this because we need to see this. I think it's important. In the Gospel of John, John always refers to Peter as Simon Peter. Peter's name before he met the Lord was Simon. When he met Jesus, Jesus changed his name to Peter. He said, you are no longer Simon, you are now Peter. But Jesus here chose to call him Simon. He says, Simon, son of John. He doesn't say Peter, he says Simon. Now, this had to have gotten Peter's attention. Right? Because that was his name before he met the Lord. Peter had fallen so far that the Lord was using his old name. Because Peter was acting like his old self. This is like when you do something wrong and your mom calls you by your full name, right? Jeremiah Douglas Moore? Oh no, I did something, right? Let's continue. So Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." So this must have been a shock. Peter didn't necessarily want to be pointed out. He would have liked to just blend into the group. But he was targeted. And the Lord called him out three times. And Jesus asked him if he loves him. One for each occasion of the denial. For each time that he denied Jesus, he got an opportunity to be restored. And here was the restoration. It's as simple as this. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" That's the question. When you act disobediently, you're declaring love for something other than Jesus. And Peter had done that. So Jesus said, "Do you love me more than these?" These what? These men? No. Because they all done the same thing. They did the same thing as Peter. They were all guilty of a loveless disobedience. Jesus meant these nets, the boats, the fish. "Do you love me more than these things that go with your former life? Are you prepared to give this up, to abandon all your successes, your chosen career? Are you willing to give it all up? Do you love me more than that? Do you love me enough to do that?" And he asks us the same thing. "Do you love me more than the things that have been pulling you away from me?" And I've been trying to think why it's so hard for us to do this. Why is it so hard for us to truly live like Jesus calls us to live? And why do we do certain things or not do certain things when we know what God calls us to do? We know how we should live, how we should speak, how we should act, but we don't do it. Jesus cuts deep into Peter. This is corrective surgery. It cuts deep. It's painful, but it can be healed. And we read in John, it says Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time. Now listen, he wasn't grieved because Jesus said it to him three times. That's not why he was grieved. He denied Jesus three times. He was grieved because Jesus was even questioning his love at all. He was grieved because Jesus is even questioning his love at all. And again, Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep, tend my sheep, pasture my sheep. No more fishing. Your job is to take care of what I have given you. Jesus had great plans for Peter, and he has great plans for you. So let's continue on, verses 18 and 19. Jesus says this, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying these things, he said to him, follow me. Following Jesus requires a certain commitment. So here we have a call to follow him. Now this call, I think, has three components to it. It has three components. The first, it's a call to love Jesus. It's a call to love Jesus. Second, it's a call to sacrifice for Jesus. And third, it's a call to follow Jesus no matter what. And this is universally the case. For every believer, for every follower of Jesus, there is a necessity to love, a call to love, a call to sacrifice, and a call to obey. Now, some people might say, well, you know, Peter messed up pretty big, so he's going to have to, like, go through a process before we can get him back into serving. Right? He messed up, so we got to have him have some therapy, or he's got to deal with his past somehow. He's got a lot of stuff going on, right? No, that's not the case. The Lord asks him one question three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? That's it. There's no process he has to go through. It's just this. It's the restoration of the Lord. Do you love me? Because you will follow what you love. You will serve what you love. And you will sacrifice for what you love or who you love. It's all about who we love. So Jesus asks, do you love me? And that's the question. Now I want to suggest to us a very obvious point. It's this, it's that love fails when it disobeys. Love fails when it disobeys. And we had an awesome time of worship, right? And worship is good. We can feel these emotions of love for the Lord. We can feel this sentiment for the Lord, but it's not about sentiment. It's not about how much emotion we feel for Jesus. It's not about how many tears we might have shed or how certain songs make us feel misty or weepy. It's not about sentiment. That's not the issue. It's our love fails when it disobeys. And if you don't believe me, look at Jesus' own words in John 14, 15. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, for example, in any relationship, you know this to be true. When someone's asking you to do something and you don't do it, it causes friction in the relationship. Right? If my mom asks me to take out the trash and I don't do it, it causes friction. Who am I loving more? I'm loving myself more. If I can't take out the trash, That's pretty selfish. Or when Jesus lays out very clearly in Scripture that what we're doing is a sin, yet I continue to do it, who am I loving more? I'm loving myself more. I'm loving my sin more than Jesus. Because you will follow what you love. You will serve what you love, and you will sacrifice for what you love or who you love. So why is all this important for us? Why does this interaction between Jesus and Peter mean so much for you and for me? Well, it shows us this, that your past mistakes don't necessarily prevent God from using you in the future. Peter messed up. His devotion for Jesus slipped, and in his mind, he was done. He went back to his old life. And so many of us do the same thing. We might be sitting here on a night like tonight, or on a Sunday morning, or maybe we go to a Christian retreat or conference, and we make the decision to follow Jesus better. Yet, throughout the year, we mess up. We slip up. We do dumb things. We mess up so bad that we essentially take ourselves out of the race because we deem ourselves disqualified. We have denied Jesus with our words and actions every week, but Jesus still has a calling on your life. He wants to restore you. Think about this, is that the Savior who was betrayed was the one who restored. The Savior who was betrayed was the one who restored. Do you guys understand that? It was the offended Savior who initiated the restoration, and it will always be that way. It was that way for Peter, and it's that way for you. My hope and prayer is that we begin to grasp what it is that Jesus wants from us, to follow him and to care for his sheep. Jesus conquered your failures and your denials already. And he comes to you, and he has a word for you and a charge for you to be more involved in what he's doing. Jesus hadn't given up on Peter, and he sure hasn't given up on you. And some of us might not have stepped out yet because we might feel like our past disqualifies us from true forgiveness, from true love, from a true relationship with God. And you might say, well, if only you knew what I did, what I thought, what was done to me, I can't go all in. Well, guess what? Here's what I say to you is Jesus knows. Jesus knows. And he still calls you into a relationship. Can you imagine what our lives would be like if we walked around knowing the truth that even when we mess up, God can still use us? That he does, in fact, have a plan for each one of us, and that he can and wants to use us still, and that he gives us opportunities to be used by him? Can you imagine how many great things we would do for his glory? Now, I'm speaking to myself as well. I'm right there with you guys. Sometimes I like guilt trips on myself, but it's all about knowing what God has promised us and knowing that Christ still forgives us and still loves us and still uses us. So many great things could be done for his glory. And when we look at this story, not only does Jesus restore Peter, but he commissioned him to continue to do his work. Peter was not disqualified. He was sent out. He was sent out knowing that he had messed up. He knew that. He knew he had messed up in his past, but Jesus was still willing to use him to do some pretty amazing things. And this should give us hope, because it's not just Peter that God does this with. Peter was not the exception. See, all throughout Scripture, we see this. All throughout Scripture, God is the master of taking broken people and doing great things with them. Do you feel like God couldn't possibly use you because of your past? Remember, just these are a few examples. Abraham, he was too old. Isaac, he was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses was a murderer and had a stutter. He had a speech problem. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Elijah was depressed and suicidal. Jonah ran from God. Job went bankrupt and had nothing. Naomi was a widow. John the Baptist ate bugs. Lazarus died, and Peter denied Christ. If you've messed up, you're in great company. And God still wants to restore you and commission you to go out and take care of his people and use you in a mighty way. Your past mistakes don't necessarily prevent God from using you in the future. So, if you guys need prayer for this restoration in your life, if you need prayer for anything, if you've never given your life to the Lord, now's the time to do it. Now's the time to receive this restoration. If you've been straying, if you're like Peter and you feel like your past mistakes have taken you out of the race, and you know you might have gone back to the things that you used to do before the Lord, now's the time to run to Jesus' feet, receive the restoration that he has for you, and continue to do his work. Continue to glorify him. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the forgiveness that we have in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the restoration that we can receive from you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit in us to keep us from sin and temptation, God. We just pray that you would use us in great and mighty ways, Lord. God, we need you desperately. So, Lord, I pray for each of us here that this week we would just receive from you, Lord, and look to you run to your feet when we mess up, and that we would allow nothing to stand between us and you. So, Lord, we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.